Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here at Island Christian Church. If we haven't met before, my name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and today is Vision Sunday, a day that we really look forward to each and every year. But before we get into that, I just want to start with a moment of gratitude, because October was Pastors Appreciation Month, and so I wasn't here last week. So I wanted to just take a minute to speak on behalf of myself and, of course, all the other pastors, just to thank you for just the incredible generosity and warmth that so many of you showed during Pastors Appreciation Month. I mean, it was obvious during that month that, first of all, you thought that you needed to fatten us up just a little bit. Because all the goodies, all the treats, the gifts, we had spreads in the office, we had gift baskets, stuff showing up at the house, so many kind notes and cards. So thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. I mean, this is a wonderful place to serve. This is a great congregation and inspired membership, and we're so thankful for you. And I know many of you also contributed to the community kind of cash gift, and we appreciate that so much as well from the bottom of our hearts. And so from your pastors back to you, thank you for all of the appreciation. It was so kind and so heartfelt and so noticed. All right? All right, so today is Vision Sunday. So what is Vision Sunday? Well, this is a day that we take each year, and we look forward with great anticipation to what God will have for us in the coming year. And we also look back on the previous year to see what God has done in our midst. It's a day that we kind of do some self-reflection, and we also set goals for what we wanted to do in the coming year. And we look at the goals that we had last year and how we did in reaching those. This is our second Vision Sunday that we've done together as a congregation with me as your pastor, and it's something that I always look forward to. I'm very much a person oriented around goals, and I feel like that's something God can always use both in our personal lives and in our life as a church, that when he calls us to move towards a certain point, as we keep our eye on that point, as we all keep moving towards that point together, it pulls us into alignment with Christ and also with his vision and purpose for us as a church. Now, why is it today? Why is it the third Sunday in November? Kind of seems like a random day in some ways, but it's not. We picked this day intentionally. First of all, this is the last normal Sunday of the year. I'm sorry to tell you, but from here on out, you just pick up steam. Next week is a holiday weekend, then we are into Christmas, and we all know what Christmas is like. December, you're going to blink twice, and it's going to be the new year. So before all that happens, we want to have this time to talk and to pray and to look forward into next year. It's also about 40 days before next year begins. And 40 days has always been a period scripturally of preparation, of God getting people ready for something, or of God making big changes in the world. Jesus, when he was tempted, he went out into the desert for 40 days. And when he came back from that, he was ready for ministry. So kind of 40 days out seems like an ideal time to be looking to next year to see what God would do in our midst. And so with that being said, we're going to start to unpack today, but today isn't kind of one single overarching day of vision, and then we don't talk about our vision anymore the rest of the year. Throughout the year, we talk about so many different parts of who God has called us to be. Throughout the year, we talk about the intersection of faith and current issues of the day. Throughout the year, we talk about what it looks like to be people who are salt and light in the world. Throughout the year, we talk about what it looks like to be engaged in our faith through intentional discipleship connection, and also through serving and being empowered into our gifts. And today we're going to talk more so about a couple of concrete goals that we feel God is calling us to do next year. In fact, we're going to talk about two goals and a dream. But before we get there, we're going to look at the first chapter of the book of Acts. We tend to look at this every year on this Sunday because the book of Acts is when the church was launched. And this is a very kind of unique point and vantage in Scripture. See, there are two books in the Bible that were written to be a complementary pair, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. They're written by the same man named Luke, and both of them have the same similar dedication. They're dedicated to a man named Theophilus, which most of us believe seems to have been a wealthy Greek benefactor who was a follower of Jesus who commissioned Luke and said, I want you to do the best researched, most detailed account of Jesus, his life, his birth, his life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and then the launch of the early church. And so when you drop into a book like Acts in chapter 1, we're right in the middle of that extended story. Jesus, at this point, has already died. He has already come back to life. He has spent about 40 days appearing to the disciples and to others to demonstrate that he was still alive. Then he has gathered them all together. And that's why at this moment, the disciples and those who were there are looking at Jesus, and they're wondering, so what comes next? I mean, this has been tremendous to see and to witness, to know that Jesus had taught in a more beautiful and a fuller way than they had ever experienced before. Then he died. All of his followers thought that was the end. I mean, in those days, there were others who also claimed to be the Messiah. And the way you could always tell if someone was the Messiah was very simple. They believed the Messiah would never die. And so anytime someone died, their claim to Messiahship died with them. And this happened a number of times. So when Jesus died, it felt like the greatest defeat because they thought that was the closest we'd ever been. Then he still died. Then 3 days later, he was resurrected. He came back to life. He proved his power forever over sin and over death. And he appeared to so many eyewitnesses that no one could refute that he was still alive. So the disciples wanted to know, okay, now, what comes next? So this is what they asked him. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, what are they talking about here? They felt like, okay, Jesus, now that you've come, now that you've proven your power, isn't it time for you to fix everything that we see here in this world? Isn't it time for you to make those things right? Remember, at this point in their history, the nation of Israel was occupied by Rome. They did not have political freedom. They didn't have personal freedoms. They were administered by another country that they had to pay taxes to, that had beliefs that violated their own principles, that had deeply held values that were in contrast and in conflict with their values from the scriptures. So they had been saying for several generations, in fact, when is someone going to come and make all of this right? Give us the freedom that we deserve. Fix this broken culture. They thought, surely now must be the time. And I think you and I feel that same tension today. And the reason we feel that tension is because when Jesus came, he inaugurated the kingdom of God, but not fully. The period that exists, that we are still in, you can think of it as the kingdom of God is now, but not yet. And we're in this period, we're in this church age, where Jesus has set so much right. I mean, before Jesus came, there was a barrier between God and man. You had to have a mediator, a high priest, who could go on in behalf of the nation and ask for forgiveness of sins. For your own personal sins to be forgiven, there had to be sacrifice, and it was ongoing, and it was perpetual. And very few believers had access to the Holy Spirit. Only occasionally, certain ones at certain times would be empowered for a certain task. And when Jesus came, he changed all of that. If you read the book of Matthew especially, Matthew's the first gospel, and it's spoken really into a Jewish perspective. And he talks so much about how the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is here. But it's not fully here. Because Jesus is coming a second time. He's going to make everything right and perfect. All injustice will be gone. All pain will be gone. All sickness, all disease, all death. That is a day that is still coming. And we are in this period now. It's the now, but the not yet. And so they were asking that same question. Jesus, aren't you going to now fix everything else? And Jesus gave them a very interesting answer. It's a non-answer. He said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So he didn't say, I'm not going to do that. Certainly not. But he said, that's not for you to know. When that day is going to come, that everything else, when the rest is going to be fixed, that's not something that's going to be revealed to you. And then Jesus redirects the conversation. Because in the very next verse, he says this. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they said, Jesus, when are you going to fix all of the rest of this? He said, that's not for you to know now. What I want you to know now is you're about to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. in a brand new way that you've never experienced before, that the world has never seen before. And armed with that, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus talked about those four locations, they're very strategic, and he's making a point there. Some of you would be aware of this, but some of this might be new. So I want to show it to you visually. I'm a very visual learner. I probably have some other visual learners in the room. I want you to see this, what he was talking about. Jesus said, first, you're going to be my witness in Jerusalem, which is that little point. My screen is asleep today. All right. Can I preach without my pen? I'm not sure that I can. What am I going to do? All right, well, Jerusalem is a tiny little point right here. You can probably barely see it. And Jesus said, I want you to start there. And I think some people misunderstand this, and they say that Jesus was thinking, well, we're going to start easy. We're going to start small. I don't think they would have felt that way about Jerusalem at all. First of all, it was a big city. It was a thriving city. Jesus had just been killed there 40 days before. James would be killed there. Stephen would be killed there. It had been a hostile place to their faith in many ways. And Jesus said, listen, we're going to start in Jerusalem. And I think you may have felt that same tension before sometimes. You're thinking, man, I'm really excited to send shoeboxes off that I know we're going to go to South America and to Africa, and I'm going to be all about that. And you should. But then we say, boy, inviting my neighbor to Christmas Eve, that's so much scarier. Just take that little tension that you feel and now add into that martyrdom and violence. Okay, that's what they're talking about. Jerusalem, they're saying, listen, we're going to start here at home in Jerusalem. Then he says, we're going to move out into Judea, which is this kind of brown, orangish province right here at the bottom. He says, we're going to start with that. And in some ways, that was kind of their region. If you're familiar with the history of Israel, you know that all of this was Israel at one point in the Old Testament. Then they had a civil war, and it split in half roughly along this same line. And the northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah, which now is called Judea. This is it. It's written here in Greek, in English as well. So he's saying, listen, we're going to branch out to our region, this place that we've been traveling around. And if you can read those are some popular cities that you've heard of. The Emmaus Road that we're going to talk about next week. Jericho, Bethlehem, you know. Gaza is very famous today. So we're going to start here in this area. That's going to be the second place we're going. We're going to start local in our own city. Then we're going to do our own region. Then he said, you're going to go into Samaria, which on the surface seems to make sense because Samaria is this blue one right here. Where he said, all right, and it just looks like, oh, okay, well, you're going to keep expanding outward a little bit. But Samaria was very different from Judah. The Samaritans, those who lived here, were enemies of the Jews. See, they had been repatriated into this northern land while Israel was deported. Samaritans had been sent in to live there. And they had crafted their own pseudo-religion that shared a few similarities with the traditional ways of God's people, traditional Judaism, but was actually in conflict. They rewrote the first five books of the Bible to be from their own perspective. They did their sacrifices at a different place. They took their religion and twisted it. And that was plenty to offend the Jews. And then there was plenty of ongoing daily conflict between them. Jesus was saying, you're going to reach those people. People who are really different from you. People that you don't like. And people that don't like you. You're going to reach them with the good news of Jesus. This is why the woman at the well, when Jesus spoke to her in John 4, it was such an important interaction because she was right here in this area. See, this top region here is called Galilee, which you've heard of. Jesus grew up here. There's Nazareth where he grew up. And so the Jews would have to travel between the southern one, Judea, and the northern one, Galilee, and they had essentially two choices. They could go through Samaria, which is hostile territory, or they could go around through Perea and kind of through this little corner. It was much longer. And so the day that Jesus met at the woman of the well, they had taken the shortcut, and he ministered to her, a Jewish man, to a Samaritan woman in a way that broke all cultural boundaries. And Jesus was saying, you're going to be doing a lot more of that. Then from there, he said, oh, and from there, just go to the ends of the earth. That's all. No matter. And then Jesus ascended back into heaven. And it says in Acts 1:11, actually, that angels came and they asked the men, why are you still looking into the sky? He's not coming back for a while, but he will, and he'll come back in this same way that you saw him ascend. So Jesus laid out for them the vision of the church. And these were not just instructions from Jesus, but it was a prophetic word. Because in the book of Acts, you see all of that realized. You see the gospel. It started in one room in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came. And by the time the book of Acts is done, the good news has made it all the way to both Europe and North Africa. It's already on three continents in 28 chapters. You see the gospel, how it's moving out. So Jesus was telling them in that moment, this is the call, the mission of the church, to be a witness for Jesus locally, regionally, cross-culturally, and around the world. These were Jesus' instructions to his disciples. He said, this is what you're going to go out and do. Then, as Jesus promised, in 10 more days, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers in a way they had never experienced before. They had giftings that they had never experienced before. God used them in ways they had never seen before, and there was a closeness and an intimacy between people and God that had not existed up until that moment. And it changed the way they viewed each other once the Spirit came on them. And so it says in Acts 2:42, these new disciples who are now empowered by the Holy Spirit, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Goes on to say, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They became a new type of family that had not existed before. Because they were now unified through the Holy Spirit by their love of Jesus and their love for each other. And they showed a new sense of community, of belonging, of purpose, unlike anything the world had ever seen. And it says here that they were devoted to new things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And in this context, that's best understood today, they devoted themselves to Scripture. Because the apostles that existed in that moment were being used by God to write the completion of the Bible. Apostles like Paul and Peter and John. Apostles who were then under the Holy Spirit's guidance, able to take the teachings of Jesus and say, listen, this is what that looks like in our day and in the day to come. They were devoted to that. It says they were devoted to fellowship, to being together. They were together on a daily basis. Here in this context, it says, to the breaking of bread. I believe this one here is talking about communion. The New Testament, kind of like what we do, uses breaking of bread both to mean communion and sharing a meal. But this one, because this is all theology, teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer, I believe this one is talking about communion. Say they were dedicated to those things. And here was their sense of togetherness, of camaraderie, of team, of shared burden. That if anyone had need, other people would meet the need. They might even have to sell something in order to free up the capital in order to help someone, but they loved to do it. It says, day to day, they attended the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. This one, I believe, is talking about hospitality now. They were together. They were eating together. They were sharing lives. They had a glad and generous heart. So Jesus had put a call on them to go and reach all people, and it changed the culture among them. They were now devoted to Scripture, to fellowship, to unity, and to prayer. And as you take those two things together, you can see the vision that is laid out for the church. That the call, the mission of the church, the call is to be a witness for Jesus locally, regionally, cross-culturally, and around the world. And then the culture of the church is to be devoted to Scripture, fellowship, unity, and prayer. This is who we strive to be as a congregation. This is what we're asking God to bring us into the fullness of this, that we can grow into that vision that he has for our church. And so last year, we looked at this, and we said, you know what we want to do in 2022? We want to strive to create environments to encounter God, to create some places, some spaces where people would have the opportunity to encounter Christ himself. And we said, you know what? First thing we want to do is we want to grow in this sense of hospitality. So we said a year ago, we said, listen, we want to build a cafe. Some of you don't know that in that space used to be this bookstore. Does anyone remember this? We had a bookstore, and the bookstore operated for many, many years and did dynamic ministry, but it had been closed, and had been closed for about a year. So we said, we're going to make this space into a place of great hospitality. So we ripped it apart, and we have the cafe that you now see every Sunday when you come in. People come in, and they enjoy hanging out together, and they enjoy their coffee. Well, we said, you know, the cafe vision was just for that little space right there, and we were going to try to do the ladies' room if we could. And I even said that last year. If we can, we're going to do the bathrooms. Well, we far exceeded our fundraising goal last year, so we did extra. We took the lobby, which the lobby had the old carpet. It has the wall coverings and the painting and the old lights. And we said, listen, it's time to give it a new look. So we took the lobby apart. And also we put in new carpeting, new lighting, new wall textures, new finishes, new colors. And now it's just even a warmer space where people can come together and they can fellowship on Sundays. And then, yes, we went in to the Holy of Holies for the pink ladies, this bathroom. Man, I don't know if you ever were in there. This is your one chance. By the way, this is probably the first and last time in my life I will show pictures of a bathroom in church. We said, listen, it's time to kind of redo this space. It had seen better days. And so we did a slight renovation. And now it has a whole different look and feel, has a whole different vibe to it. And the men's room got some of this, but not as much. The guys are going, hey, that's a little nicer than ours. Yes, it is. You'll be fine. So we said, listen, that's goal number one, is to build a cafe. And as we're able to do other parts of the lobby and the bathrooms. And I'm happy to tell you, all that is completely done. The project is finished. And we enjoy that every single Sunday. We had the cafe actually open by Easter. That's done. Next thing we did is we wanted to do a local project with Helping Hand Rescue Mission. We contacted them in November, December, they said, of last year. We said, what do you have going this year? And they said, well, we have this basement that's a mess. We just use it for storage, but our dream is that it could be a nice, clean space, well-lit, dry, where moms can come down and pick out supplies and clothes and other things for their babies. They told us about what it was going to cost, and we said, okay, we can probably do like half of that. Well, we exceeded our fundraising goal last year. So we called them back and said, look, we're not doing half, we're doing all of it. And so they never sent us any before pictures, but I can show you after now. This is their basement, which is just clean and organized, and there's all this stuff on the shelf, and the moms now go down there, they get their supplies, they get all their stuff. And I went there, and Kim was just so thrilled to do this project. And that is done. It's complete. And our third goal was, we said, we want to enhance our digital environments. Because of the way the world works now, everything digital about our church is the first impression that we have to the world. Some people, the only way we minister to them is through the internet. Most, though, they experience us digitally first before they come and experience us in person. We said it's time to renovate many of those spaces. So we took our old logo that had been in existence for about 11 years, and we updated it a little bit to the new one that you now see all over the space. We took our old website, which had served so well, and we renovated that to have a new look and feel and focus. And we installed new signs outside on all three corners, front and left and right. And we did all of those spaces as well. So I can tell you all three of our projects, all three of our goals are completely done. And we're really excited about that. So a big thanks to all who raised the funds. Big thanks to all who did the work. Big thanks to our staff, Phil and others, who worked tirelessly to get all this done. It was a really big year for us. And if you're like me, you can move on very quickly. It's very easy to just get used to kind of a new reality, and you forget how much has changed in just one year. And so we're so excited and thankful for what God did this past year. So now I want to talk to you about this year's encounter. Encounter 2023. This year we have two goals and a dream. And Encounter 2023 is no longer creating environments. This year, our goal is this: to tell the coming generation. And kind of a vision verse that I want to sit with all year is from Psalm 78:4, where it says, "Tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." And we're going to have two focuses to that. One is to the ends of the earth. The other is our Jerusalem. We're going to actually start with the ends of the earth. See, we're going to do two missions projects this year. The first one is quite simply, we're going to be sending Christmas gifts to all of our missionaries. This is something we've done as a church for many years. We're going to be continuing that. We're changing the vision of it slightly. It used to be a special offering received at the Thanksgiving Eve service, and that was all that was available, and whatever came in, that's what we sent out. This year, it's a part of our encounter, which will enable our leaders to, quite honestly, do a little bit more and to send them more of a Christmas gift. Because I want to talk to you just for a minute about missions. This is not something that we've talked about in my first couple of years here. But we have missionaries in about 10 different places in the world. We're in Africa, we're in Asia, the Philippines, South America, and Europe. About 10 different locations in the world, some served by more than one missionary. All of these missionaries we support. All of them we encourage and we pray for, and we want to send them a gift for Christmas, as we often have. But this year we want to go so much further. We want to build a church in Nepal. If you start looking into Nepal, you're going to find some very interesting things. Nepal, first of all, strategically is in a very important spot, directly between China and India. So think about the posture of that for a minute, just sitting in that space between China and India. But in this space, the Christian church has been growing enough that it has caught the eye of even mainstream media. I read an article from NPR that's only from 4 years ago saying the Christian church is growing in Nepal and we're not sure why. Well, we know why. It's because the Holy Spirit is moving. And so in Nepal, there are two different ministries that we're aware of who have dynamic pastors that we know and trust through our ministry partners that are both having church in their own house. And they're happy to do that, except the congregations are growing. And so one of them, they have church on the roof of the house, which is just as safe as it sounds. But they can't be up there in bad weather. This is monsoon country, so they can't be up there. They miss a lot. Then they have to go inside. When they have to go inside, people have to stay home. They can't get in. The other one, they meet in the pastor's outer yard. It's the same problem. So it's very weather dependent in an area that has unpredictable weather, that has mud, that has rain, it has monsoon. So our goal is to build one church in Nepal for one of them. Of course, we'd like to do both, but our goal is to do at least one, to build a church. Now, how does the building happen? It's actually built by local builders who understand local customs, local materials. It's built by the men of the church because then they have how to keep it up. They also have ownership, oversight, and excitement, but they cannot afford the materials. So we would send all of the materials over so that we could build a church this year in Nepal. And we're going to be talking about missions a lot more this year, but just to get started, this is something we want to be doing right away. Our second goal is we want to be investing even more significantly in the next generation here in this building. We're talking about kids and youth. So one of the things we've already started is we've done much of the same digital renovation for kids and youth that we've already done for the main church. So we've already launched for them new website with new colors and look and feel. We want to build for them a new check-in station right there where you already know where it is, but really has kind of that new look and feel that just invites them in. And we want to give them kind of their own entry into children's ministry, because right here in this corner, we want to put in a tube slide. Okay? So when it's time to go to Sunday school, you check your kid in and then, foomp, they're just gone. Okay? That's the goal. So I assume we won't show this to our insurance carrier, right? Don't put that on the web. So, and then they'll just be delivered right to Fellowship Hall, and then from there they'll be ready to have their Sunday. Because one of our dreams, we want kids to love being here in this space. You know, like if you ever see kids that are kind of being loud or running around the church and kind of being disruptive, I want you to know what I think of that. I think it's awesome. Because I want them to love being here. They're the next generation. If they don't follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before, it's all done. So we want to invest in them. We want to see that through the entire kids' space. We want to renovate Fellowship Hall. give it new finishes. I think the paneling has probably had enough ministry time. We can give it a new look, redo the ceiling, the colors. Also, we need new technology in the fellowship hall. Make sure the computer is awesome, make sure the sound is awesome, make sure the lights are awesome and working and up to speed. We can even radiate through that some of the classrooms. We want to do the same for youth. See, youth has its own slightly different look and feel that's recognizable just to them, but clearly ties in with the church as a whole. So we're already renovating their web presence, and then we want to just update their youth room with some new graphics, a new look and feel, just to make it kind of fun and pop. And we want to take all these wires and get rid of them and properly run them and get everything, again, new technology in that space, computer, sound, lighting. Some of it's good, some of it's dated. We want to bring together one complete system over there that works great for them. They tend to be a little frustrated from time to time because a lot of churches do this, like the stuff that used to be in here, when it started working not as great, then we sent it to them. And if you think about that, it's like, why would you do that? So we want to do better, okay? We also want to pull our preschool in a little closer into the family. And actually, Miss Stephanie, this was her first idea, okay? So Miss Stephanie said, I think it's time to rename the preschool. So we said, okay, so we're going to be launching it as Island Christian Preschool. Because we're now Island Christian Church. It would be Island Christian Preschool. And we just want to renovate the outside of their space. So just give it that look and pop and feel. I'd be curious to know how many of you, your kids, went to the preschool. Raise your hand. Yeah, exactly. And I know many of you started attending because your kids went to that preschool. And so we just want to pull them in a little bit tighter, the Island Christian Preschool. So those are our two goals. We want to have a renewed focus on missions, including strong Christmas gifts and building a church in Nepal. And we want to invest in the next generation here in this building. Now, we have one other dream that we're starting to work on, okay? Our west entrance, the one that most of you came in today, is wearing out. If you go outside, you'll see that the red awning has seen better days. The weather has beaten it up. This roof here tends to leak. The columns out here in the concrete are slowly sinking, and many of the doors are wearing out. They can't all be locked properly. We've had more than one surprise guest because the doors don't fully close. The last two on the end we already really can't use. You've probably seen that. In the same way, we kind of have three different looks to our church. The south has one look, and the west has one look, and the north has one look. We like to long-term start to bring the building together with kind of more unity and cohesion. So we have this idea for rebuilding the west entrance that'll be safer, more secure, and more kind of in line with what we're looking at in the future, something like this, which we think would be really fun. So it could be this year, it could be next year, but it's something that we want to start working on. And so as we talk about Encounter 2023, we want to put before you the same goal that we had last year. Last year, our goal was to raise about $150,000. $150,000, we believe strongly, would accomplish both of our goals. We would build at least one church in Nepal. We would give significant Christmas gifts to our missionaries. And we would do all of the interior refurbishment and renovation for the next generation here. Then if we go above and beyond that, then we want to start on that west entrance. So for many of you, end of year is when you start thinking about if you want to give a financial gift. We want to put that before you. And for some of you, this has been a hard year. So please know, it's not a compulsion. It's not a requirement. No one is expecting. This is an above and beyond thing that you say, you know what? I can do that. What has happened for me this year with my family or with my business, I'm in an opportunity to play a big part in that. And so for you, I'd love for you to start praying about how you can be involved with Encounter 2023 to work towards those two goals and the dream. We also have a couple of other things we're working on that are not financial, but I want to just kind of have you be aware of what your leaders are working on and talking about. First is, during this year, we seek to establish a long-term vision for our church, kind of a 3 to 10 year plan for where we feel like God is leading us. And we already have a couple of pieces of that in place. We've already started meeting with our leadership as a community about 4 to 5 times a year, where we come out and we pray together and we have some sugar and we hang out and we just kind of train and worship and pray. We're also having a vision retreat in March where your staff and your deacons will all be gone on the same Sunday. I don't know if I should tell you it's coming or if we should just surprise you. But there's a day coming in March when all your pastors, all your staff, all your deacons will be gone because we're going to go away for 3 days just to pray and plan and ask God to reveal a long-term vision for where we really see ourselves through God's equipping in 10 years. Because ministry is a beautiful thing, but it's also a little bit of a grind, and you can be overcome by the day-to-day. And the next thing you know, the day-to-day becomes the year-to-year, and a lot of time can pass. And if we have a clear sense of where God is leading us in the long term, each and every decision that we make along the way leads to that end. And it's a powerful statement of how God can use a community to accomplish that purpose. We are also working on what it would be like to launch our own mental health ministry. If you have been, you know what's happening right now in the culture. You know how many people are hurting. We preached on anxiety and overthinking a couple of times this fall, and just to see the way God was able to use even that in people's lives was humbling and stunning. And we want to talk about what it looks like to start to go deeper down that road. And this is a dream. It's a mission. We don't yet have the vision and strategy behind this, but this is something that we've been talking about with some frequency for the past 6 or 8 months, maybe even more. So that's something you can be praying about, because it's an opportunity. There will be opportunities for you to engage with this ministry, both as a mentor, a discipler, and also as someone that we can be leading you and equipping you. And so we're going to be kind of building that leadership team probably in the first quarter of the year and walking forward from there. And I don't want to go too deep in this now, but I just want you to see this is the type of thing that we believe God is calling us into next year. Because, you know, the time to do ministry is now. The world is continuing to become more hostile to the things of faith. The world is continuing to pull away from God. We're seeing such a sense of disunity in the culture, of disruption, of pain, of heartache. And we know the answer to those questions is found in Acts chapter 1 and 2. That when you follow the risen Christ, when you serve and minister in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, when we become devoted and oriented around all new things, there is no limit to what God can accomplish through a group of people like that. And so it is our prayer that next year at this time we can look back and we can say, wow, 2023, that may have been our best year yet because of what God has done in our midst. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had together, and thank you for the sense of just optimism and energy that I feel in this space, God. So many people who with me are looking forward to next year to see what you can do in us and through us. And God, we don't want to move on too quickly. I want to give significant voice to the gratitude for what we have, for what you've done so far. God, you've done incredible things in this place. You've used us in ways we didn't expect. You've equipped us in ways beyond our wildest expectations. But God, we never for a second receive your blessing and cause ourselves to be arrogant or proud, because it's all in you. Your power is made perfect in our weakness, so we remain weak before you. And God, we hold these treasures in jars of clay to show that this is from you and not from us. And God, I pray in great faith that you would use us in 2023 in ever increasing ways, ever more effective, with a growing burden and passion for reaching the next generation, whether that next generation is in Nepal or is in Northwest Suffolk County. And God, we will always, forever, eternally give you all gratitude and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find our sermon library at eilingchristian.com. And if you'd like to visit us in person, you can find us at 400 Elwood Road, East Northport. Sunday services are at 9 and 11. See you soon.